Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
You're listening to American Heroes, hosted by Cliff Kelly on WVON AM 1690.
Well, well, welcome. Welcome to America's Heroes Group Roundtable, legally speaking with Steve. Today is Saturday, October 31st, 2020. October is Breast Cancer and National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Our host is Cliff Kelly. I am the co-host, Colonel Dr. Damon Arnold. Executive producer is Glenda Smith. Digital media producer, Manny Carazzari. Assistant digital media producer is Al Greer. We're going to be talking about some really great things about the legal situation. But before we start with that, we have America's Heroes Group is proudly sponsored by attorney Steed Seidman of Seidman, Margulis and Fearman LLP, 20 South Clark Street, 2 First National Plaza, Suite 700, Chicago, Illinois, 60603. Toll free numbers 888-837-3275, office number 312-781-1977 for a wonderful attorney. Also, we have Pearl's Place Down Home Southern Cooking, 3901 South Michigan, Chicago, Illinois. Phone number is 877-275-5852. And veteran business owner, here's Gulf Shrimp, 7448 South Vincennes Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60621. Call 773-783-1818. And I am so pleased to have our esteemed attorney, our partner and sponsor, Steve J. Seidman. He is a founding attorney of Seidman Law Office, experienced trial lawyer, focused on personal injury, and America's Heroes Group sponsor and advisory board member. Today's discussion will be updates on legal issues, and we are so pleased to have you here, Steve.
Thank you very much, Doctor. How is everybody today?
Great, great.
Good. Can you hear me okay? I'm on a cell phone.
Excellent, excellent.
Excellent. So, well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here and to go through some of the things that are facing veterans. During the last couple of years, we've had some issues come up and some progress, maybe, I think. And that's a good thing. But we still have a long way to go. And, of course, Tuesday brings an administration, a new administration, perhaps not. We don't know, obviously. But at this stage, one focus that we all have to remain with laser focus is on the veterans. And I'd like to go through a few things. Although a lot changes, a lot doesn't. This week, in fact, the government paid $1 million to end a suit over a VA's patient's death. And in that one, Doctor, the federal government paid $1 million in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, actually, for negligently administering medication to an opioid patient. So he was opioid dependent, and they gave him opioids. That caused cardiac arrest, leading to his death. And we see these continuing problems at VAs. There have been increased staffing and we're going to get into what we call the Mission Act and how much that's changed for veterans. It's been a game changer, actually, in a lot of ways, and I'll explain that in a moment. But still, the future, we go back to the past. And in fact, there was U.S. lawmakers all the way back at the end of 2018, early 19, sent a letter to the head of the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The purpose of the letter is they were tired of horrific exposure of negligent care occurring at already poorly rated Veterans Affairs hospitals, especially in Massachusetts. There was one facility that an employee whistleblower told the authorities that investigators came to investigate that particular place in Brockton, Massachusetts. When they arrived, they found half a dozen staff sleeping, literally sleeping, instead of caring for residents. And Democrats, from, for instance, Senator Elizabeth Warren and Edward Markley penned a letter that talked about these concerns. The concerns, lapses in VA facilities raise questions about whether concrete lasting measures are being implemented to prevent misconduct from occurring again. So we keep on seeing these things occur and occur and occur. I mean, when you have sleeping members, staff members, and in fact, if you remember, there's federal litigation and indictments going on at a nursing home in Jersey, and out east, at least, of VAs. There's been a tremendous amount of loss of life because of COVID, because of absolute negligence, you know, throwing people together. And it has been a really continuing problem. My guess is it will continue, and we have to be ever vigilant to remain proactive in getting these changes made, especially these malpractice situations at the VA, the hospitals, and then, of course, you have the nursing homes. And not only VA nursing homes. I mean, a lot of veterans go into nursing homes for nursing home care, or their loved ones do. And what happens there? Many times they're malpracticed there because of lack of care. So it's not only specific to VA nursing homes, and that's where litigation rises and these lawsuits take place. I will tell you that in 2019, apparently the VA now, Veterans Administration, and their ability to take care of patients, now he has over 397,000 employees today, which is about 50,000 more employees than it had over 5 years ago. This fiscal year alone, 42,000 new employees have been hired to address increased staffing, meet demand for services, improved access, reduce wait times. And so hopefully it's making some difference. Now, even we could talk about telehealth. Actually, the VA over the last year, because of telehealth, apparently has delivered more than 2 million episodes of telehealth care in fiscal 2019, and more than 9 million telehealth visits to date, including 1.1 million virtual mental health appointments. And we'll get into why that's important because of the suicide rate. But these are issues that we should look at towards the future as we're on Zoom. At least part of us are on Zoom. And it's amazing, the technology. But the telehealth is very important, especially to people who are shut in. For instance, a lot of veterans are in rural America, right? So how do they get to a doctor if they have to travel? And there are two ways now. Actually, one is by telecommuting, by telehealth, if they have the use of a computer. But the other one is the Mission Act. Now, what's the Mission Act? The Mission Act, another thing that came into, actually was signed into law through a lot of lobbying and everything else. The Mission Act actually basically fundamentally transformed VA care. Why do I say that? Because when we were sitting here a year ago or 2 years ago, if you needed care, you had to go to a VA facility. You had to go to a VA doctor. You had to go to a VA specialist. Well, nowadays, because of the Mission Act, which was a wide-sweeping bill, actually you could call up the VA and they would have to refer you to a private doctor if that's what you want. It was signed into law in 2018. It gives permanent, real choices over veterans' healthcare decisions. Now veterans have the chance to see a non-VA doctor whenever it's in their best medical interest. So that's actually, after a year into it, apparently there have been 7 million referrals of people going to doctors because of this Mission Act. Now, that's a major thing because, if you recall, over the last year, 2 years, we've had situations where the care at the VA was suboptimal, let's put it that way. Yeah. And actually, a lot of people were ignored. And now they could go see specialists in the private sector if they feel that way, if they feel those in the VA facility are not properly caring for them. Now, we know in the VA there's many fine doctors, that's for sure.
Yes.
But occasionally there are lack of a certain number of care. There's going to actually be, in my prediction, is in the near future, urgent care facilities for VA, sort of like the private sector, which will employ probably private people working in the facilities to treat VA patients along with regular patients. And I think that's what VA veterans deserve, is the same level of care that people are seeing that that non-veterans have. So that's, as we go forward, something to definitely look at. And we talked about once, Doctor, if you recall, the burn pits. You know, what happened in war in Afghanistan and all over is that when they want to get through and burn all kinds of things, get rid of contaminated type of they used to burn it in a pit, and they burn them in pits. And all of the fire, the people who were there burning it in pits were military personnel. There weren't, you know, any. So imagine 9/11, if we go back all the way to that horrific time in 2001, and all the firefighters who were exposed to all those chemicals and toxins. Truthfully, there's not much difference between what the people in the burn pits were exposed to and what the 9/11 people were. For instance, I did a little research on this and found out that Agent Orange, there were some kind of discarded Agent Orange that were burned, depleted uranium, and they were actually gotten rid of in open air burn pits. So the point is if any of the veterans who are listening have any claims, and what are those claims? Well, they could be anything from Parkinson's disease. They could be a number of potential claims caused by exposure and toxic exposure. They should definitely file claims with the VA. They could just submit a claim, There's a presumptions. They're not required to gain benefit. In other words, you could file the claim if there was environmental exposure during deployment that may be associated with both immediate and delayed adverse health consequences. There's no time limit for submitting such claims. So those people who might have been in burn pits 10, 15 years ago, if they're having these issues, do not hesitate to file the claim with the VA, because you might be able to recover for that. And then we talk about, well, what about grandchildren and children and, you know, spouses who were exposed? For instance, Agent Orange. I mean, what about the military spouses, the children or grandchildren who have become ill due to the herbicides such as Agent Orange and other toxic substances? And I think in the next couple of years, what we have to focus on are for instance, there are four presumptive conditions that the National Academy of Medicine is asking to be added to the Agent Orange list. For instance, they're an expansion of the list, even though it's so so long after the actual exposure to those vets. From January to the end of August, the VA received a total of 66,853 claims. They paid in retroactive compensation and survivor benefits over $629 million. So the money is out there, and it's very important that if there are veterans who have these issues, to do what they can. I know I'm going sort of fast, a lot of ground to cover.
Yes,
but
that's great.
The next is the Caregiver Assistance Program. I want the vets to know about that. And that went in actually on September 11, 2001. Subsequent to that terrible day, anybody who was injured, military personnel that required support family caregivers for disabled, severely disabled veterans is entitled to federal money so that those caregivers can be paid appropriately. So I don't think that that's out there publicly. A lot of people may not know about it, but severely disabled veterans have a right to modify their homes to make their lives easier. There is, it's called the Ryan Cools and Paul Benny Specially Adaptive Housing Improvement Act. So it's got a long name, but there is actually a Housing Improvement Act that increased the cap on grants awarded to some veterans to purchase or adapt their homes and let them apply for funding. So that's all part of this litigation or bills that have been passed, among others, through the course of time, has really been a very helpful thing. The Mission Act, which, you know, I think is a game changer for medical care. I don't know how many actual VA people or veterans know about that, and we've got to pass the word. Finally, the sexual harassment is going to be the hot button topic as we go further into things. And as it looks like right now, there are changes being made. There's a stand up and stop harassment now. The VHA, has intervention programs. There's a sexual assault accountability investigation task force. And of course, all of this has started, if you recall, because of this terrible sexual assault. And for years, and our executive producer, Glenda Smith, has been very actively trying to get the word out for many years now.
Yes.
But finally, but unfortunately, due to some tragic circumstances, finally, sexual assault is being, you know, not just looked at and discrimination, not just given the once over. It's actually getting some focus. Yeah, thanks to people like Glenda and others. But sexual assault in the ranks is a crisis. And this is something that during the next period of time we need to take on head on. And I think that's very, very important for veterans.
Oh, that's incredibly important, Steve. You know, and, you know, I just want to make a few comments and then ask you a question. But one of the things is that, you know, first of all, the caregiver assistance program is so critically important with our returning veterans now, because many of them have disabilities and they need to have that assistance with their homes and making sure they have a place they can live in peace. And then also the when you were talking about the burn pits, you know, there is a latency period when you get exposed to chemicals. So I'm really glad that you emphasized that point. Get enrolled now so that, you know, you don't know what's going to happen in the future, 10 years, 20 years from now. The same thing happened with Agent Orange. We started to see that unfold over time for our Vietnam veterans. And then you were mentioning the sexual harassment, which should never be tolerated in any form whatsoever within our society or within the military. And the military should be setting the example for how society should be leading itself as well. And there is the one question I have for you is that the Mission Act with outside doctors, how does that really play into things now? Because if I go to an outside doctor and I have disability benefits that I have to process and that kind of thing, how does that sort of jive with the traditional VA model?
Well, it's interesting, and it's a work in progress. But the way it works, it's like it's a specialty. So if you need a specialist, that's where they're sending people to. So suppose at the VA, they find out you may have a lesion on your kidney.
Yes.
And so they want you to see a nephrologist, and the nephrologist you want to see is at one of the major institutions, Rush, Northwestern, University of Chicago. You have a right to go there. As far as the daily benefits and the daily processing of forms, you're probably going to still have to stay within the VA system. And the reason is they're more probably focused on getting things done easily throughout the bureaucracy of knowing what to file, what forms to file to keep your disability going. Right. But if you want to see that doctor, you can. I mean, theoretically, if you have a sore throat, you could ask the VA physician to refer you to a specialist to have that sore throat looked at. Yeah. That was a non-entity and nothing that never existed in the past.
Okay, well, we're running out of time, Steve, and we have got to have you back multiple times. Every time you come in, it's like hearing someone from heaven talking to us, giving us a direction. And I want to thank you for your service to the veterans as well, because without people like you, we would be completely lost most of the time. So just thank you for your words of wisdom.
Yeah, thank you too, Doctor. You've been a great supporter over the years, and I know that the veterans are very lucky to have you on their side. I know you are a veteran, but still, they are very lucky. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, we're going to move on. We have a commercial break, but I want all those people who are staying on board to stay with us. And remember, if you really need to get something done legally, there's only one person I can think of. It's a certain person named Stephen J. Seidman. Make sure that you go to look at the law office practices of Seidman Margulis. He is Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman. And again, his office number is 312-781-1977. Extremely important for you to come forward early and make sure you get your paperwork together. Okay, thank you. We're going to move on.
War is not the answer. Hi, I'm Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, the game changer in radio, print, and digital media programming. We are a roundtable talk show where information, resources, and referrals are provided intentionally every Saturday to empower our military population on WVON 1690 AM, the iHeart Radio app from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please visit our website at www.americashd.org.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, SeidmanLaw.net.
Hey Cliff, where can a veteran business owner go on the south side of Chicago for breakfast, lunch, and dinner meetings?
I'm a veteran, and that's an easy answer. Pearl's Place on 39th and Michigan. Pearl's Place has free parking available across the street. Reasonably priced, quality food that tastes delicious. Veteran owners, there's no place like Pearl's Place.
Governor of Talk Radio, your executive producer wants to know, where can I go for delicious shrimp? Any suggestions?
Absolutely. The one and only veteran business owner, Harris Gulf Shrimp, at 7448 Vincennes. I personally eat there. The price and shrimp are nothing other than fantastic.
Thank you, the one and only Governor of Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Sister Soldier, proud partner of She Voices on America's Heroes Group. She serves, she matters, where your change becomes empowered. Also, watch me on the web at SheVetInspires.com or YouTube. Remember, I'm every woman because I am just like you.
Service Women Who Serve is proud to partner with Cliff Kelly and the American Heroes Group as an influencer of social change through advocacy, activism, and examination of legacy for military and veterans. We stand as paradigm-shifting thought leaders, believing social justice is grounded in hope.